Us through 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. These are just a few brief passages, but full of reminders about Christ, his sacrifice, and this season of Lent. It's found on page 220 in your pew Bible or in the large print 284, or please feel free to follow along in your personal Bible. Let us hear God's word as it comes to us this morning. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of God for the people of God. Not during this time of the year or any other time of the year, for that matter, can we escape being surrounded by death? Our society is consumed with the topics of death. And believe it or not, it's really inescapable. They say it's kind of like taxes. Death is all around us. I'm a hospice chaplain, as you all know, and so I am with loved ones and their families 40 or 50 hours a week surrounding death. We live in a time where there are war-ravaged countries where senseless deaths are occurring daily. Children and adults are dying of starvation, and of unclean water, and of unsafe living conditions. And in our own country, death is not just the focus of TV shows and movies, but it's occurring daily in all of our states. Not only death caused by illness and disease, but accidents, and death due to violence. It's everywhere. It's in New York, it's in LA, it's in Washington, D.C., and sadly, it's in smaller communities like Parkland, Florida. 17 killed, and many more injured. Lives decimated, hearts desecrated, worlds devastated. Violence and death are as much or more a part of our news than anything else. And I sometimes wonder if, because we're all so bombarded with the information about violence and death, that we have somehow become a little numb to it. I hope not, but I wonder if we have. Perhaps as a coping mechanism or self-protection. You know, as Christians, we are surrounded with death and we study about death a great deal. Death is a part of our lives. We think about our own death that death event, or our loved ones where there's that crossing over to the other side, to our eternal heavenly home, we talk about that a lot in church. And we talk about the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just wonder, if even in the church we have somehow become immune to such talk, or at least a little numb. You see, death is very much a part of the gospel that we proclaim. The horror and the darkness and the sadness surrounding death is real. And through this reality, through this death, God, through Jesus Christ, brought about and brings about life. This time of year in the church, this season we refer to as Lent, this color we display as purple, is a journey in preparation for Jesus' suffering and death. And it's hard for most of us. I believe that if we're truly honest with ourselves, many of us would like to race past Lent and move right on to Easter morning, where Easter lilies adorn most sanctuaries with their sweet fragrance, where women display their new spring dress, or men perhaps even a new shirt or a tie. And we hear trumpets or voices sing out, "Jesus Christ is risen today." Resurrection Sunday, where death becomes life, where tears are wiped away, and Jesus is raised from the grave. We are Easter people, and so we know how the events unfold, and we tend to want to race past the events full of betrayal and suffering and death. I don't know if you all here have a tradition of attending or participating here in a Tenebrae service on Maundy Thursday or Good Friday. I see some head nods. I think you do. If this church is anything like others I've been in the last 52 years, those services are not well attended. And they're nothing like Easter morning. Because those services focus on the darkness, the betrayal, the suffering, the death. And most of us want to race right past that dark week to Easter morning, where I bet there are a lot more people in attendance. Death was a part of Jesus' life, and so it is for those of us who follow him. Those of us who bear his name, Christians, followers of Christ. Death is a part of life. The beautiful, familiar prayer of St. Francis of Assisi speaks so well of so many gospel truths, and I believe this one we're talking about this morning as well. He writes those famous words, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. Not so much to be understood as to understand. Not so much to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we awake to eternal life." The cost of being a disciple is great. And just like Mom used to say, no one ever said it was going to be easy. The old must die. Death is involved in the newness of life. There is new life with death to sin, and new life comes with new possibilities, new challenges, and new responsibilities. We are continually asked by our brothers and sisters in the faith and asked by our colleagues, do you believe or not? Do you know him or not? And maybe in the darker nights of our souls, we sometimes wonder if we believe. Sometimes we say, yes, we know him. And sometimes we say no. It's not always easy being a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're continually asked to follow him, to die to the old way of life, to live in his newness of life. And for some of us, it's hard to understand why it is through death that we find life. Why Jesus had to die for us to live. Why his death offers us life. In his dying, the gospel reminds us he conquered death once for all. Tough questions for us when we see senseless violence and heartache and devastation like we've witnessed in Florida. Why so much death? And how can and how will God bring newness of life out of such devastation? And how are we as believers to participate in that newness of life? This whole dying thing of our Savior, it doesn't seem fair, and it seems like maybe God could have accomplished it some other way, some neater, cleaner, more decent way. Many of you, I'm sure, have seen The Passion, that movie that came out years ago, that movie that for our eyes and our hearts and our minds vividly portrayed the gruesome brutality of Jesus' suffering and death. What Jesus had to endure for our sin and for our sake. One of my favorite authors is Anne Weems, and she wrote a poem that reminds me and perhaps you about the difficulty we sometimes have with Jesus' life and death. It's entitled, Fair is Fair, and I invite you to hear Anne Weems' words about Jesus' suffering and death. Anne writes, we still don't like the way it was done. The whole idea of a sacrificial lamb is not to our liking. What's fair is fair, and there was no justice here. The innocent one, the righteous one, the holy one put to death. Because the ones in charge of politics wanted to hold on to their crowns. And the ones in charge of religion wanted to hold on to the keys to the church. How could they do it? It may not be the story we would have written, but we're not God. And only God, in God's infinite wisdom and love and mercy, offered his Son, the righteous, for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to himself. Only God can bring about life through death, And the scriptures remind us time and time again that Christ's death brings about our life. Remember the words from 1 Peter we just shared moments ago. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. You see, for Christians, life and death go hand in hand. And if it weren't for Christ's death, there would be no resurrection and eternal life. Famous hymn writer Isaac Watts in 1707 wrote the words to the beautiful hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. I want to share with you these words from verse 3 that I think state this truth so clearly and profoundly. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? This is the truth of the gospel. Life through death. Someone once said that it took the strong hands of God to weave a crown of thorns into a crown of glory. And in such hands as these, we are safe. Do we truly believe it? This life through death. And if we do, do we have the courage to proclaim it to the world? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.